here at the 2019 NAFQ Annual, the 52nd NAFQ Annual, and this time we're in the Big Easy called New Orleans, and it's actually a beautiful day outside.
It is a beautiful day.
It was supposed to be raining the whole time here, so now it's actually gorgeous out there, so very cool. All right, and it's cool inside here. It's going to be hot outside a little bit later, but we are here with Mr. Steve Hewins from CU Members Mortgage. Yep. How are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I'm good. Very good. Good to see you. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, and I know the show's just started. You guys had a big opening session last night. How was that?
We had a good session. Good foot traffic through the expo hall, and it's been good.
Yeah.
So hopefully more foot traffic today. So
what are some of your goals at the show here? Obviously networking and new business,
networking,
all that type of stuff.
Discussing, reaching out to new clients and our existing ones.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
You know, checking in on how they're doing, how they're feeling, business is going, offering solutions to them that may help them. But really, it's just kind of networking and meeting new folks.
Good stuff, and having
and
a presence.
And handing out tchotchkes.
That too, very important, for sure. All right, Steve, hey, let's talk about a couple of topics you wanted to talk about. One of them was, last time we spoke, I think it was at GAC, we talked about how millennials have ruined everything.
We talked briefly. I told you that. I was working on a presentation around that, how millennials ruin everything, and I did a few weeks ago at Cornerstone League, mm-hmm. and it went really well. And we kind of went through, and I gave them all the brands that the credit union, that millennials have ruined. And I stop right on Paul Newman's salad dressing.
Right.
And everyone kind of stops and like, well, why do millennials not like Paul Newman? You know, like, how could you not like him? You know,
right.
You know, movie star, all the benefits, his organization, all the philanthropy
yeah,
he does,
amazing guy.
Which is truly fits right in the wheelhouse of that generation.
Yeah.
And so I, like, because they don't know who he is.
Right.
And so you say Paul Newman, they're like, who? You know, which is what I told the credit unions, which is probably part of their problem too. Millennials mm-hmm. were like, what? Mm-hmm. Who? And it really kind of put a period on that point where they all stop and thought, and like, yeah, that's true.
Right.
You know, it's really, and it's about, for the most educated generation, because they're the most educated, the most people have gone to college, most have completed high school, they have the worst financial literacy. And so that's one of the things that credit unions need to do is really focus on financial literacy, mm-hmm. not just for them, but for Gen Z as well, so people know who they are.
Right,
so.
Right. The sooner the better, I think, for financials.
Right.
I mean, because I remember going through, probably you too, going through school, and like, the only thing they taught us was like, oh, here's a checkbook. Here's how you balance it. Now we don't even use checkbooks anymore, barely.
We don't even use checkbooks. It's all online banking.
Now I'm really lost.
Yeah. And the other thing that we talked about in that presentation was about how you retain, as an organization, if you're going to spend a lot of effort in capturing them,
mm-hmm.
you have to have an organization can sustain them and hold on to them.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, you know, buying a beach house with no beach, right? You know, they sign up for this organization that really isn't what they thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are four concepts that when we're talking about internally with our organization, that for our folks to really focus on being able to retain the millennial generation and be successful in the millennial era. One is to be digital. And I mean, it's kind of well spoken that, you know, we need to have digital products. We need to embrace the idea of digitizing our loan files,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
accepting data coming in and being able to receive it. Clear is all about, and that's true data. You know, in this generation, they're used to people telling them what they need because of all the data they have around them.
Oh,
Amazon
yeah.
is like, you know, the master of that,
mm-hmm.
right? Amazon tells you need to reorder things. They know it ahead of time. They know you're going to need it before you do.
Oh, yeah.
And I told that group, as a group, if you don't have a data strategy, whether you're going to rent it, buy it, and retain it, you've got to figure that out very quickly,
mm-hmm.
because you don't know that you need data today that you're going to need in the future.
Yep.
And I think even with CECL, people are realizing, oh, I wish I had held on to some of this data,
mm-hmm.
for those calculations.
Mm-hmm.
I try to take that down to the transaction level for my team and say, for you, you know, they're not working about data strategies, but they are important data capturers, and it is important the accuracy of the data that they collect,
mm-hmm.
and it's complete data,
mm-hmm.
because though we may not be using it today, in the future there may be a need for it, and so it's important that all the data we capture is accurate and clear. Fluid is another one that we use, and fluid and flexible, you really have to be, for that generation, able to react to what they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and being listening in the right organization.
Yeah.
you know, as a leader, I set strategy and I set direction. Mm-hmm. But the real tactical change in our organization comes from our frontline manager and our frontline staff. And they're the ones that hear it. They know what people are saying. And if we don't have a mechanism for that information to flow up to us so we can set strategy properly, yeah, we're not successful. Mm-hmm. And then at a transaction level, to be fluid, we really need, you know, when you look at millennials, 98% of them operate online. 72% of them do transactions through mobile devices, mm-hmm, so phone and tablet.
This thing right here.
Right there.
Yeah.
But they don't expect to always finish on that.
Oh, really?
And so most of them expect in a mortgage transaction, they'll start online, but mm-hmm, they expect to finish with some type of human contact and communication.
Good to know.
And so we have to have cross-platform and cross-channel platforms that allow you to move seamlessly from mobile to online to it in person, and that's mm-hmm, one of the things that we look at.
Yeah.
And then fast is the most critical thing that we're talking about today, and we struggle with it on a day-to-day basis because our expectations, especially in mortgage moves at a much slower rate than everybody else.
A little bit.
And one of the things, you know, when you look at them, millennials, you know, when they send a response into social media, they expect a response within 10 minutes. Not same day, not with an hour or two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I keep trying to tell folks, you know, we have to move fast in this millennial era.
Mm-hmm.
We're being measured in minutes, not hours, business days.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we're focused on, are those four capacities.
What's the one thing that'll frustrate a teenager with a cell phone, with a smartphone? I got the punchline for you. If they text you, don't text them back.
Okay.
Frustrates the heck out of them. Oh,
it
my
is.
God. Because you just talked about the immediacy of this type of stuff.
It is.
So when a teenager or even a Gen Z, if they text you and then you don't text them back.
Why aren't you texting me back?
I know. Or wait like 10 minutes or 15
like
minutes.
Wait.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Like, so that's the immediacy thing.
It's the same thing about like when you're trying to attract someone's attention, you know, you kind of play hard to get, you know, same thing on texting.
Yeah.
You're just playing hard to get.
Oh, of course. I use it as a strategy.
Yeah.
At least in my family environment. In a work environment, not so much.
Not so much, right.
But in the family environment.
Playing hard to get doesn't
work
for
clients. Kind of
leverage
it a little bit, yeah.
And I tell you, the other thing that we talk about with our staff is, you know, this change, when we introduce new technology, we just rolled out a new point of sale system. And I keep telling people, we can roll that out, but if we're not ambassadors of that change, if we're not out selling it both to our credit unions and to the members on every transaction, it's a very slow adoption rate, and we really want them to adopt very quickly because of the benefits. Every technology we deploy right now, it's all focused on the member satisfaction. You know, we're willing to sacrifice operational efficiency for member satisfaction at this point in time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. But all that kind of comes together, though.
It does.
Efficiency, the member satisfaction, the experience, all that type of stuff.
And when they use that experience, you gain the efficiencies on the back end anyway.
Right. Alrighty, sir. Good. Anything else to add to wrap up? Anything else?
No, I think that was it.
Any forecasting in the crystal ball out, Steve, or for the rest of the year?
I'll tell you.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, month over month, our applications and our fundings have been growing, so we're right in the middle of the buying season.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to continue to see that. I tell you, the one thing that, you know, from an industry perspective that's really interesting right now is going to be what happens to the GSEs. They expect, you know, something to happen with Fannie and Freddie over the next, by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Some say even early summer.
Oh, really?
Which would be very significant. And some of the things that they're talking about really will be interesting. You know, maybe the elimination where Fannie and Freddie don't buy cash out loans anymore, or they move away from second investment properties, where those things would now be picked up in the secondary or outside the secondary market and the private market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that'll be really interesting to see what happens to the GSEs and how that changes, which is an opportunity for credit unions who has a huge opportunity to utilize their portfolio that other folks, the independent mortgage bankers, don't have the access to. And so that'll be really kind of what I think is going to be the next major seismic shift in the industry is around what happens to the GSEs and how that impacts the private market and how that impacts the credit unions and their portfolio usage.
Okay. Very cool. Well, we'll keep an eye on that stuff for sure. All right. Steve, thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely. Good to
see you.
Appreciate
your time as always. Always enjoy this. It's always entertaining and education as well. So we like that combo for sure.
Perfect.
All right. Steve Hewins, everybody. CU Members Mortgage. Look them up.
See you later.
Done, sir.